Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So, look at us.
Look at us.
What's going on, Juice?
All right. So, took a week off for Thanksgiving break. I know a couple of you had a pretty hectic Thanksgiving, but we're back.
Yeah, sick for a week. I didn't have any Thanksgiving. Nothing.
You still haven't?
Like, food-wise, I had a tiny bit of leftovers the day after, but no, I was home. I didn't go anywhere. I couldn't go out.
Oh my god. Brutal.
Yeah.
I was drunk for 72 hours.
Yeah.
You had the Jets Dolphins tailgate, right?
Yeah, that was never ending. And there was so much food. Like, it was just overconsumption, overload. And then.
What time did that start, the tailgate?
Yeah, anything to report from that?
We were drinking outside the gate before the gate opened because they wouldn't let us in at 9:30. It was the first tailgate where I actually took a 30-minute cat nap.
That's great. That's great. But everyone was safe. Everything all good. You know, you got to see the fail Mary in person.
Yeah, I kind of invented a new drink that was a big hit.
Oh yeah,
do tell. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so we're calling it the Port Manhattan.
Port Manhattan.
So you take a ruby port. And you mix it with a rye whiskey, and then you drop some chocolate bitters in, and then top it with a cherry. Port Manhattan.
Ooh.
This sounds like heaven for me, because I'm like you. I love the port.
They were flowing. Yeah. From Thanksgiving right into the tailgate. Everyone loved them. So next time I see you guys, we'll make one.
Chocolate bitters.
Yeah, chocolate bitters.
So it's like a dessert. It's like a, what's the term for... What's the term for like dessert? A dessert drink?
Aperitif.
Ooh, that's kind of that fancy.
Right? Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of something else. I don't know. It's not coming to me.
Either way, Saturday was a beached whale, so it makes sense that it's a dessert drink.
But all right, guys. Well, do we want to go around and say what we're thankful for, or like whatever?
Yeah. All right.
Thankful for.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for losing parlays, you know.
Yeah.
What else? For this podcast,
I'm thankful for Lonnie Walker IV.
Yeah, Sixth Man of the Year candidate.
I'm a fan, and I guess my daughter.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, my family too. Yeah, can't forget about them. but let's. God, where should we start? I mean, we'll get to the Nets. We'll get to your Nets. We'll get to basketball. We got to start at football. Do we go Giants or Jets? You were at the Jet game, so I guess we'll just get that over with. Did you happen to see the fail Mary in person, or had you gone to the bathroom by then?
I was so. Me and a couple of guys, we went up to the bar about with a minute left in the half, and
we're
ordering a margarita. No, but the TV's on in the bar. It was because we're inside that little. You know the Casamigos bar they have?
Yeah. Yes.
It's actually really nice. So there's TVs everywhere. It's full of Jet fans. The guy throws the Hail Mary. I'd never seen a group of people so dejected in my entire life. I felt so bad, honestly, for everybody. And I don't recall that ever happening in a game.
Yeah.
And it was just such a Jets moment because, you know what I mean? You have the... The Rex Ryan stuff, you had the butt fumble, and now you have this thing, you know?
And it's always on, like, a so-called holiday, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Terrible. Victor Cruz was on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's true. It's always a holiday. Yeah, butt fumble was Thanksgiving. Al Michaels did that game, too, so Al Michaels always seems to be involved. And
yeah, I'm done with the primetime games. Even if when Rodgers is back next year, like no,
I know.
Cause they had just gotten the pick six, so it was like, oh man, this is gonna be a game here. And then
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
missed extra point, and then the tail note.
You know what it kind of reminded me of? I went to Jets Ravens. This is years ago, probably in 08, 09. And do you remember when Ed Reed had that like 100-yard interception return?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that Lamont Jordan throwing the ball?
I forget who threw it, but I was at that game. And it was just like, yeah, it was like the same thing. He went like 100 yards, like untouched. It was just like, reminded me of that. All I could do was laugh. I mean, it was just, the whole game was just like, you laugh to not cry, right? And I do this like evil laugh where I'm, you know, I'm like, I sound like suicidal, kind of, you know. That's all you could do. That's all you can do. It's, it's pretty much over. Rodgers is even, he's kind of even like resigned to, we'll see if I'm healthy after like for weeks. He's like, yeah, I'm targeting this day and I'll be practicing next week. And now he's just like, okay, we stink, not happening. So that's that.
Yeah. I think it was strictly a motivation factor. If he really ruptured his Achilles, right? Like a full tear, he can't come back this early. There's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah. Wasn't going to force it. For sure.
So by him saying that I'm gonna come back and like setting a timetable, it's just to get everybody else to play harder and be motivated to win games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So at this point, I mean, they got the Falcons, Commanders, and Texans at home still. There's gonna be no one in that stadium. I mean, nobody. Like Jeff fans are, they've had it, right? I mean,
what's their record now?
Four and seven.
Yeah. 4-7, and the Bills are 6-6, right?
Correct.
The wild card is like the Colts right now, actually, and they're 6-5. So they're theoretically, two games out of it technically, but there's so many teams muddled in there. It's like, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got to play the Browns, who they're competing with. They play the Texans, who they're competing with. Oh, like, they're playing teams that they're competing for the wild card with. But it's just, I mean, it's just...
They're terrible, bro. They have the worst literally NFL like history. So.
Yeah, the offense is so bad. It's hard to watch. It's unwatchable. I mean, it's so bad. And,
it's just not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's one of those things you just end the season, right? You want it to be over with, but it's gonna be pretty. You know, the fans are only gonna get worse, right? Because you know what I was getting at with those three home games. You know, those three teams don't travel well. They don't have, like, huge fan bases. There's going to be nobody in the stadium, which leads me to Woody Johnson. He's going to see that. So much promise going into the season. The team stinks. No one's at the games. Is that going to force his hand a little bit? Do you think someone gets fired? Or do you think Rodgers runs the team, no one's going?
No. This is like a mulligan year, right or wrong. They're going to be back next year.
Yeah, that's why.
Even if they lose out.
Yeah, once Rodgers went down, I mean, I know the team still fought and they won that first game, but it, I mean, once he goes down, the Super Bowl hopes are pretty much gone.
Correct.
So I don't know. It's hard for me to say the regime should get fired, but this offense, man, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the, like, I know Rodgers is an MVP candidate, but how much better is this offense with Rodgers?
I know. I know. And
I really do believe if Rodgers wasn't there, I think Saleh and Joe Douglas there would be on the hot seat.
Yes,
100%. I think 100%. Saleh would be gone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Adam. Were there like anything interesting from Jeff fans, like just sitting around you, or you know, like things they were saying, or I mean. We're on Twitter.
Everyone was drunk and miserable and wanted to fight.
Yeah,
that was pretty much Black Friday. I was like, okay.
Yeah,
I hadn't been to a Jet game in a while, and I remembered they're a rowdy bunch. Those Jet fans.
Yeah, so. my buddy Mealy was there. Shouts to Chris. He was texting me the entire time. I fucking hate this team. They're an embarrassment. Like he was ready to just jump off the third deck. It, you know, it's pretty grim. And we still have how many more weeks left? 11, so six more weeks. So it's going to be brutal. I'm going to just probably watch Red Zone the rest of the way out. So
something we've talked about on this podcast before, getting into Giant Stadium. MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
It's 12:25:30, and we're not too far. We're like, let's take a walk and get in there so we can catch this kickoff. We missed like the first 5-6 minutes of the first quarter.
It's a joke.
It's a joke.
It's terrible.
How? I'm like, I thought we left early. How did this happen?
It's
how they haven't figured it out yet is unbelievable. Like, it's a joke. And it's gotten worse, I think, over the years too.
You got to get online at 11 o'clock to get in. It's crazy.
It's nuts. And you know, a lot has come out that a lot of players around the league, they don't want to play there. I think mainly because of the turf, but I got to think it has something to do with just like the stadium experience. It's just kind of whatever, you know. I mean, it looked sick, like that week one game, right? that looked like the Super Bowl, but you know, without like. Like, I think at night, it's a little better, you know, because they could do fireworks and all that other crap, but, yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
You know, they have the worst stadium, and, like, it seems like Mara and Woody Johnson, they got to get together to really, one is they definitely have to change the turf, but they have to figure out a way to get fans in the stadiums, because if, like a season like this, I do not want to go to any. You couldn't pay me to go to these games.
Yeah, same.
Because it's just a better experience watching at home or watching at a bar.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's and the reputation is bad and only getting worse. I mean, what you guys are saying about, because, you know, Juice and Adam, you guys have both been to a few games. What you're saying, everyone else is saying, you know, about trying to get in and all that. So. It's
yeah, like when the Nets and the Knicks, like if they stink, like I'm like, all right, like if I can get tickets and go to a game and see another team or something like that, or a player, or, you know, maybe Wembanyama's in town or whatever, I'm definitely down to go, because MSG's fun, the Barclays is fun, the outside of Barclays is a lot of fun, there's places to go hang out, but there's no reason to go to Giant Stadium. I mean, I'm sorry, no reason to go to MetLife Stadium and sit there in the cold weather and watch this garbage in that stadium. There's no draw at all. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cold. You know, it's just notoriously windy there. Yeah.
And then, you know what? Like, you're a loyal fan. You sit there. And even, like, okay, for example, take the Giants against the Patriots, right? What did they win? 10-7? What was the final score?
10-7.
Whatever the score was. 10-7, right? You sit through that. And let's just say we lost 7-10, and it's brutal, and it's miserable. You get rewarded by sitting in traffic.
Yeah.
At least it's more palatable when they win. But man, like, you're sitting through all that traffic after a loss. It's horrible.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah. What's his face? So I think everyone on here listens to or has listened to Bill Simmons when he does the podcast with Cousin Sal, the Cuz, on Sunday nights. And a recent episode, Sal was talking about, because he grew up on Long Island and his dad was diehard Jet fan and had Jet season tickets. And he grew up like, because he lived in Suffolk County. So he grew up like doing that long drive out east, Long Island, all the way to East Rutherford, New Jersey, just to watch the Jets, you know, stink it up, you know? And that made him like just not be a Jets fan. He's a Cowboys fan because it was just like such a miserable experience, you know? Yeah. So what are you going to do? Yeah.
Life of a Jet fan.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about the Giants though. You can't see me doing it. I'm doing the Tommy DeVito, the hand.
Tommy
gesture.
Cutlets.
Tommy Cutlets. Yeah. Been kind of a cool story. He's won some games here. He's starting to sling the ball a little bit. I guess
he's got seven touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seven passing touchdowns, one rushing. So eight touchdowns, I think, total.
Yeah. Yeah. He's looking pretty good. He's feeling confident. He's smiling.
How you doing?
He's got his whole, you know, he's got all the whole fam at the games. It's pretty cool to see. It begs the question, though, like, what is he the future backup of this team? Like, what's the deal with their quarterback situation? Because now, you know, they're saying DJ's our guy, and, you know, I don't know if they're going to draft a quarterback now.
Josh, you want to start?
So, I kind of believe Joe Shane. I really do think that they want to – they're going to make Daniel Jones the quarterback. But he did kind of save face a little bit by saying that in the draft they'll take the best player available,
yeah.
Which they could all – you know, they could walk in there and think that the quarterback is the best player and take him. Yeah, I think DeVito's got to be the backup, right? You have Tyrod – you have Tyrod Taylor, who's going to be a free agent at the end, and I don't know if they're going to just keep him and DeVito. I think they might just roll with DeVito. Unless they draft a quarterback somewhere in the draft, I don't know what round, you keep him back, and then keep DeVito and Jones as a starter. Jones may not be ready, though, for the first few weeks.
That's true.
So that's why I think DeVito is going to be... He's getting all the reps. He's getting better every time he's playing. So I like him as a backup option.
Yeah. Go get your fucking shine box. DeVito. Yeah. I love it. It's a cool story. So it's kind of interesting. The Giants are starting to win some games here. And they have the Rams, Saints, and Packers coming up. Packers are next game. Yeah, Monday night.
Yeah.
And these teams, they're competing with all these teams for the wild card. Do the Giants have a run in them? I mean, they can only really afford to lose probably like one game maybe. But
I don't think they could lose any. I think they got to win out.
Yeah, okay. And the problem is you got the Eagles twice still. So I don't...
Yeah, I've talked about this on this podcast before, and it drives me crazy. Who schedules this shit? You play a division rival the last 3 weeks of the season?
I guess they're hoping for... They're both in contention for the division, and they'll be, you know, quasi playoff games. But yeah, you run into these one of the teams bad, you're screwed.
Whoever makes these, I mean, it's computer generated, but like whoever sits down, reviews it, and kind of does the matchups, I think the NFL does a horrible job.
Horrible job.
Like how many times on a Sunday night and a Monday night we get some dog shit games?
Yes. Always.
Yeah. Well,
always.
That's
last night. Yeah. Last night was horrific.
Yeah. You're
watching Bears, Vikings. It was what, 3-3 at halftime?
Yeah, it was like Big Ten West. It was like a Big Ten West game.
Yeah, it's a tough year.
Yeah, it
too many injuries too. It's way too much. The quarterbacks, they're all hurt.
I know. Yeah, Bears were the only team to win a game this season without scoring a touchdown, which is pretty crazy. Dobbs came back down to life too a little bit. He had a bad game.
Here's my thing. Like, some Giants fans, there's a big debate on whether to be happy for these wins or be sad because you want to tank and get the best possible pick. I've changed recently. I think you just, whatever pick you get, you have to just pick the Pro Bowl talent or the Hall of Fame talent that you think that guy is. In football, it's like impossible to tank.
You're right.
Yeah. It's not like basketball where you can like sit one player and then 20% of your team or two. If you sit two players, 40% of your team is gone, and you're just like you can lose the game. You have to be like your defense, your offense, and special teams all have to do bad, and it's hard to. Those guys don't want to lose because they're playing for their jobs.
Yeah.
Just to piggyback off that, Josh, a couple weeks ago. I remember when the Giants actually got that win. I was pretty angry because I'm like, now we're going to be out of the mix for Williams or May or whatever. And then, yeah, you kind of talked when you were kind of like, yeah, who cares? Like, draft where you draft. Like, none of these guys are guaranteed. Kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit. You know what I mean? Because it's not like these guys are hitting home runs at the top of the draft anyway. The Giants are paying Daniel Jones $40 million next year. He's going to be the starting quarterback, even if they draft a guy, I think.
Yep.
And I did a little research this afternoon on the bust rate of a first-round NFL quarterback.
Run through it.
So I went back to 2011. I'm not going to go through every single quarterback, but I went back to 2011, I went back through each draft in the first round and I checked out the quarterbacks. Okay, so if I go through each draft, real quick, bear with me. Okay.
Okay.
2011 draft, we had four quarterbacks in the first round. Three were busts, 75% bust rate. 2012, three quarterbacks drafted, one bust, 33% bust rate. 2013, one QB draft in the first round was EJ Manuel.
Ugh.
2014, three QBs, two busts, one backup. 2015, two QBs, two busts, 100% bust rate. 2016 draft, you had three QBs. It was Goff, Wentz, and Paxton Lynch. I guess Goff's not a bust. Wentz, was he a bust? That's debatable. I mean, he did get hurt.
Yeah.
2017 draft, three QBs, one bust, two stars, and the bust went first. It was Trubisky over Watson and Mahomes. 2018, five QBs, three busts. 2019, two QBs. There were Kyler and DJ. I don't know what you think. Kyler and Daniel Jones in 2019. It's not great.
Nah.
Top 10. 2010 was probably one. I'm sorry. 2020 was probably one of the better ones. Burrow, Tua, and Herbert, and Jordan Love were the four QBs in the round. So if Love's a bust, that's 25% bust rate. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
2021, you had Trevor, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. Not great. 80% bust rate there. 2022, Kenny Pickett. 2023, remains to be seen. Bryce Young, Stroud looks good. Anthony Richardson, we'll see. Total. We got 35 quarterbacks through 2021, 24 are busts. That's 74%. So 74% of the quarterbacks drafted from 2011 to 2021 were busts. So you're going to sit there and you're going to take a quarter, trade up for a quarterback when there's only a 26% chance you're going to hit on it. It really doesn't make a lot of sense.
You need
that's the end of my day.
That was incredible. Bravo.
That's insane.
You need to take that to like Todd McShay and Mel Kiper and
which year?
All these draft guys.
who are the quarterbacks? Now I'm drawing a blank on the year. You definitely remember because you did this exercise where I think a majority of the quarterbacks were bad, and then the last one taken was Lamar Jackson. Which year was that?
2018. The 2018 draft, five QBs in the first round. The first two taken were Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after that, you had Josh Allen. That's a hit, right? But then you had Josh Rosen, who went like 10th or 11th. And then the last pick of the first round was Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like, and the Jets, you're the most recent victim to this because you're picking at two, right? And that year, you're definitely bad, but there's definitely a sense of, okay, we need to tank because we need to get as close to Trevor Lawrence as we can. You miss out, you take Zach Wilson. But that's what I'm saying. Like, none of these guys are like guaranteed. And already, I don't like the things that I'm hearing about, Caleb Williams. Drake May is, you know, he shows flashes, but it's not like you're getting Peyton Manning. So I'm just like, let's just win games. I don't want to have this losing culture. We've had it too much. Let's win games. Let's develop guys. Let's get them better. Let's make this place an attractive club that free agents want to come to. And then, like, is it so bad that you still pick in the top 10? Like, we're still going to pick in the top 10. Guess what? Michael Parsons went in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
There's all these guys that go. Like I just off the top of my head, J.J. Watt, right? I think he was picked 11 or something like that. You can get guys when you pick so low in the first round that,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Like, and listen, teams reach for quarterbacks. Your bust rate on positional players is so much lower. Like, you look at the Jets with Garrett Wilson and Sauce. Like, that's two hits right there. The Giants with Kayvon and then Neal. Like, Neal might be a miss, but you still went 1 for 2 at 50%. That's still better than quarterbacks, which is we just went through. It's 26%. So just take the guy that's there. If it's a quarterback, take him. But if it's not a quarterback, you don't have to reach for it. It's fine. I think that's a problem. Reaching.
I mean, I've been Paul and I, we've been like saying, oh, it'd be so nice if the Jets draft a quarterback. Now I'm like, do I even want to go there? 26% bust rate in the last, 11 years. How many years was it? 12 years.
The year the Giants had the fourth pick, I remember they played the Commanders in one of the last games of the season, or maybe the last game of the season, and they beat the Commanders, which they always do.
Yeah.
And everyone was so upset because we had the chance of getting Chase Young, whose hype was unreal.
Right.
And now look, he got traded for compensatory picks, and we got Andrew Thomas, who's one of the best left tackles in the game. You know what I mean? So we don't know. You don't know.
You don't know.
Sam Darnold was a can't miss prospect. I remember Todd McShay. I mean, you listened to it, the McShay and Russillo podcast. He was like, I was so sure that Sam Darnold was going to be the quarterback, and it doesn't happen.
He loves Zach too. I listened to that. He loves Zach.
Yeah.
You know who also loves Sam Darnold like more than anyone was Colin Coward. Oh my God. That guy was
awesome. He loved Adam Gase when the Jets hired him.
That's true. Where Colin was wrong. I would say
it's a combination of – it's a hard position to evaluate, number one. Number two, teams are going to reach because it's the most important position. And number three, these guys get drafted. I've seen guys get drafted. They didn't play under center in college, and now they're starting in the NFL. Like, even a guy like Zach Wilson, like – to go from BYU to the Jets and not sit.
He's
playing Coastal Carolina to Bill Belichick.
I don't know where we got. I don't know where we got away from guys holding the clipboard. But Pat Mahomes did it. You know what I mean? Like maybe it's time to get back to that.
I think it is. And this is, you know what? Now I'm coming back again because you just brought up that point. This is why the Jets should draft a quarterback, because Rodgers is already the starter next year, and he could be the starter the year after that if healthy, right? So,
but it's it. Yeah, they're not gonna do it though.
No, I know they won't do it. We know they won't do it because they're incompetent and inept.
They should,
but they won't. But I think Rodgers being there for the next year or two is a reason why they should draft one, have him sit, learn, and then be ready to go. You know, but they won't because they're dumb and. Will always be a loser franchise.
But Rodgers, he's going to want his tackle or his wide receiver, you know.
I know, and I wish – so he was on McAfee today, right? And McAfee – I mean, I think it's still too early to ask draft questions, but I hope he eventually does ask Rodgers. Hey, because if the buzz is created, right, amongst Jet fans and the media, like, oh, should the Jets draft a quarterback? He's probably going to ask him.
He'll have to answer.
Yeah.
He can't keep his mouth shut, so he'll talk about it.
He'll talk about
See,
it.
For you guys, tackle's not so bad, right? If you're picking top 10 and you're taking a tackle, that's probably great, right? The tackles should work out, and especially for you, I mean, for both of us, but definitely the Jets, it's such a position of need that you need a lot of resources allocated to the offensive line.
Yeah, well,
I mean, even if Rodgers is healthy, he's still 40 years old, and he's not mobile as he was when he first came into the league.
Right. Yeah, and if you see the Jets the last 2 years, they went downhill. This isn't talked about nearly enough when Elijah Vera Tucker went down. Right?
Both times.
Seasons, their seasons completely went to shit. That proves that guy's the most – he's probably their most valuable offensive player. I think we said that last year. This is kind of proving it. Because even Breece, right? Breece's production is – well, he got hurt the same game last year as Vera Tucker. But he's been shit ever since Vera Tucker went down. So that guy, they need that guy bad. And Becton, what's the deal with Becton? Is he done? Like, I what's the update with him?
He's – no, he tries to play this week. He'll be back this week. But, like, what's the point? He's a free agent at the end of this year. I mean, you can't sign him long term.
No. Definitely not.
You give him maybe a 1 year deal, but no. They only have Tippmann. Tippmann's been great.
He's been great, yes.
Going for the future. But they need like three or four offensive linemen next year. And you saw with all the injuries, you have to have very good backups too. It's tough. It's really tough.
It's a big need. It is. And I mean that exercise, Adam, the quarterbacks, it's not.
Just look at the state of position in the league right now. It's insane.
It's bad. Yeah. It's bad. I do love, I think Paul and I were on the same level here. Jaden Daniels, I think, I've talked to a few
others. Gotta gain a lot more weight, but I think mechanics and, accuracy, I haven't seen anyone come close to him. His composure.
Yeah, and he's in the SEC.
All the highlights I've seen is him running around, though.
Oh, he
throws.
He can throw, too. Yeah. He's He's like, I mean, he's like frail. he's like a Lamar Jackson, right? I think he's 6'4", right. too, right? He's pretty tall.
He's lanky.
I
think Bart Scott, like I was listening to Bart Scott today, he's like, man, he needs some football weight. He's got to put on a good, like, 30 pounds. Like,
good. Draft him.
He'll get crushed.
Draft him. Just feed him some fucking carbs living in North Jersey, you know?
It'll be
good in no time. he's a stud, though. I mean, the SEC is the closest to the NFL you're going to get, and he's dominating. Dominating. If they had a decent defense, LSU would probably be in the top 10 right now, you know?
I think he has 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
His numbers were
better than Burrow, I think they were showing. Yeah. They messed it up.
I saw that. I was watching something. It might have been like a Barstool show. They put Jaden Daniels up against Burrow, their numbers, in that, you know, their best years, and Daniels was better. Slightly better, but, I mean, just goes to show. So he could, you know, he could win the Heisman this year, but it could also be Nicks or Penix.
Bo.
Yeah. Yeah. Penix would be another guy I'd be very intrigued by. After that, I get nervous with the other three or four, but.
I didn't realize Penix, he's Bo's age, and he's had 2 torn ACLs, too.
2?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Fuck.
Yeah.
So he had one at Indiana?
Yeah.
Is that
why? He kind of throws he throws legit like Uncle Rico. Same thing. You see, it's like he's skipping a rock. Weird. Pretty defective.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he lead the nation in touchdowns? Some touchdown throws?
I think so.
Shout out to the lefties.
Yeah,
lefty
hell yeah.
How you doing?
Hell yeah.
Lefty highs.
Let's get into college real quick. So we got championship weekend coming up here with we got the Pac-12 championship, the rematch, Washington-Oregon. And then...
Is that a night game?
Yeah, it's Friday night. Friday night.
Oh, Friday night.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Friday 8 p.m. from Vegas. That's going to be a great one. Everyone's like basically saying Oregon's going to win, but I don't know. Then you got the Georgia-Bama game. That's going to be a great one. You got Texas-Oklahoma State. Iowa-Michigan won't be a game.
There's no way Georgia can miss the playoffs, right, even if they lose?
I was looking at it today. It's, I don't know. I think a lot of the people who are responding were, like, fans of, you know, other teams. But, how do you leave them off, honestly? Like,
I don't think you can.
Well,
you can't.
This is what the committee is praying for, right? They're praying for Georgia to win, because then you don't have to think about it. Washington maybe to win, right? Because then you don't really need to think about it. Michigan's already in. They won the game. They beat Ohio State.
And then Louisville to beat FSU.
Well, no. Because then who do you put in fourth? Oregon? Well, no, because then they'd have 2 losses.
You get Ohio State back in there. They'd rather have them in there than FSU with their backup.
What about Texas, though? If Texas beats Oklahoma State.
True, okay.
Because they had
Texas would be ahead.
Because they had the win in Alabama. I mean, it was week 2, but it was a big win going to Tuscaloosa. And they won by like 10 points, I think, right? And they won by double digits.
Yeah, you're right. They would have, so you'd have Texas, Georgia, Oregon. And Michigan, that's a hell of a 4.
Yeah, Oregon would have to win, obviously. And then, what if Florida State beats Louisville? They're undefeated. They get left out?
No, they're in. But I don't think they want that, though.
I don't know. It's really tricky. I don't think it's been this complicated yet since they've been doing this.
That's why it'll be easier next year. What is it, 8 teams?
No, 12. They're going to 12.
12. All right, so Notre Dame is going to be in it a lot.
There you go. It's gonna be cool with 12. Next year is gonna be really weird, right? I mean, the transfer portal keeps heating up. Obviously, the Pac-12's done, so all those teams are gonna be scattered. The SEC
kind of makes the
Big 12
regular season like a little meaningless, though.
I don't know.
Like, think about how this Ohio State Michigan game, like, it was pretty much for a playoff spot. Like,
that's true. That's true.
Final game of the year, 2-2. Like, that was amazing. Next year, like, they're both in. It's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, it might take a little. You're right. It might take a little luster off some of these championship games for sure.
That's true. Yep. That's true. Speaking of Michigan, Ohio State, another classic. That was a great game. whatchamacallit. Did you see that catch? Maserati Marv? The one-hander?
He's awesome.
Yeah, that was...
He's a freak.
That was sick. Yeah, I think the backbreaker was McCord. He threw that pick in the first half. You know, gave Michigan all the momentum. They went up, and they kind of never looked back. You know, once they get a lead on you, they're just going to ground and pound you to death. So... I don't know. I think they got a legit shot, Michigan. I could see Michigan, Georgia in the, well, yeah, they would play each other because they'd be 1-2. So that'd be a great final if that happens. But we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. Harbaugh will be back.
He'll be back. Is he going to be back for the Big Ten Championship or no?
I think so. I think it was just the conference games.
Okay. Not like it matters. I mean, Iowa.
The regular season. I think it was, I know. They're favored by like 24.
They could barely beat Nebraska. I mean, are you kidding me? Yeah. They have like no offense.
The over under that game was 25.
And it hit. The under hit. It's crazy.
Did it really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think it was 23-20. It was the final.
Wait,
13-10. Sorry. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Terrible. But yeah, that should be a fun weekend. You know, could be chaos or could just be like, you know, Georgia wins, Texas wins, Florida State wins, and then I guess one of Washington. I don't know.
I'm sure there'll be. At least
every time I read it one. Out loud, I confuse myself with it. So
probably like two upsets, I bet.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I was pretty intrigued by. I know Paul, you got like a bunch of future bets going on.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty intrigued by.
Oh yeah,
Bama's odds for to win a championship, and the Eagles. So. If you do Bama and Eagles to win their respective championships, it was pretty nice. Like, if you laid like 100, you win $5,000 or something, or 200 to win.
What
10
per grand. For them parlay?
Yeah, if you parlayed that. Sorry, yeah. If you parlayed that,
that's legit.
It was pretty good odds. After seeing that Iron Bowl and Bama Bear, I know that game's always chaos, but I don't know. Like, if they went out and like killed Auburn. I'd probably be betting that. I'd be like, oh, Bama's going. They're winning this whole thing. But I think Georgia's going to beat them. I think Georgia's like a dynasty.
They're tough, man. They haven't played with their like top five offensive players. They're just like basically resting them. So they'll be back for Bama. They're just so loaded. It's unfair.
Yeah, they're well coached.
year after year.
Would we see today the DB coach? He's getting the Cuse job, and they said he was like the top recruiter in the nation. What?
Or in the whole country, yeah. The number one recruiter.
How is a DB coach the number one
recruiter? He's from Jersey. He's from Camden. So.
Oh, is he?
He said he has like all these connections in Philly and Jersey.
Well, you know who else?
All the kids from up north. Like,
you know who else from
but
Camden?
But it's also easy. Who? Shmoor?
No. Worldwide Wes.
No, Wes, yeah.
Maybe it's Wes.
Yeah, that's right.
Wes has the, maybe he's got the football influence too. No, I don't know.
Yep.
But yeah, interesting. I didn't realize DB coaches like are hardcore recruiters like that. But
yeah,
I guess.
But then again, I don't know. We'll see. Recruiting to Georgia, yeah, no problem. Now, like trying to recruit to a private university in the snow in upstate New York, I don't know. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, basketball school. You know, it's kind of
tough. Yeah, it's tough. Georgia's Georgia. They can. It doesn't matter who they have as coaches. They're going to get anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, that should be a fun weekend. Real quick on college basketball, I know you keep saying it doesn't matter until March, but are you convinced UConn is repeating? Are they
still tough to say in college, but
yeah, it's hard to repeat.
I've seen it's so hard, but overall, if there's like a best of seven series and they're playing another top team, they're winning. I can't stand Hurley's like. Faces that he does and his antics on the sideline, but I gotta give him, he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
He's a great coach.
Yeah. No, he is. No, because I ask because I was just messing with the futures again. And if you add UConn to that Bama and Eagles parlay, it was like insane payout. Their odds are crazy right now.
Well, you should do it because honestly, it's in March. All the other stuff will be over by then. So if even if they get to the Sweet 16, which is like almost automatic, it's a nice cash out then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, your cash out and that parlay you sent today, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's low. So, it's low.
Hopefully.
It's such a tease. Like, what are you going to do? You going
to
ride?
I think I was going to let it ride. I mean, it's basically Georgia to win it. So.
Right? Yeah, because it was all the division winners.
The divisions are a lock. Philly's going to win a division. KC's winning it, and so is Jacksonville. That's why that Texan game was so big last week.
If Georgia wins this weekend, that cash out might double.
Hedge. I think so. It will, at minimum. Yeah.
It'll be gone, you're saying? You're breaking up there.
No, it'll double.
Oh, double. Oh,
it'll
okay.
double. Yeah.
Oof. It'll really be.
It's all about that. They got to beat Bama. So. Edge a little bit. Bama now? It's tricky.
Yeah. Some people, I was listening to something before. They were saying Oregon is the best team, and they think they have the best shot at Georgia, but I don't know.
Nah, they're so small on the lines, like they'll just maul them to death.
Yeah,
like,
Pac-12 versus SEC. Ball. I mean, come on.
I feel like we've seen that move before with Oregon.
Yeah, they're
and we know
their
the
offensive
ending.
Line are like they'll be giving up like 50, 60 pounds each to Georgia's line. Georgia's line is monsters. I've seen them; they're huge.
Yeah, I think Michigan probably has the best chance against a Georgia. I
agree.
Think. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, like a Big Ten team like that.
Or Bama,
obviously, yeah. Right. Maybe Texas, you know, yeah, Oregon's probably like way down on the list, in my opinion. So we'll see. But, all right, NBA. We got the Knickies, they're handling business on the Hornets again tonight.
I mean, yeah, up by 18.
Yeah, three times in 1 month, right? They play these jokers. Poor Hornets. LaMelo Ball hurt again after having a great start to the season.
Nets are tied up 80-80.
Yeah, so Adam, with the Nets, I mean, it's kind of a shame because the two guys who you were probably most excited about are now like out indefinitely, right? I mean,
yeah. So Cam Thomas is back in two games.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. So that's good. So he's coming back. Ben Simmons, I don't know. Maybe he might be a runway model by this time next year. I don't really. That was super disappointing with Ben Simmons. But the team, I mean, they kind of are what they are right now. I don't think. I think they're going to be much harder to coach when everyone comes back because it's like a bunch of guys, but there's no star, and it's like. You know who's their best player? Yeah. Mikhail's good. I just don't know. I don't know what to think, but I do like watching them. They play really hard. So it's just been good to get back to the basketball part of the Nets. So I guess we'll see what happens. I think 8-8. You take 8-8 with all the injuries they've had. Claxton's missed games too. They've gotten some good production from a lot of guys they got for cheap. Trendon Waterford's been good. Lonnie Walker's been awesome. So let's see if they can keep rolling.
Yeah, and are they in? Are they still in the in-season tournament? Like, are they still in contention?
Yeah, if they win today, they're in pretty good shape to advance. I think at least in the wild card, they had to win by like 25 to win their conference, but that's not going to happen.
Okay.
So I think they if they win, and they get like a tiny bit of help. They got a good shot to get the wild card slot.
Okay, and then the Knicks. I know they're in pretty good. In a pretty good spot right now. I'm still so confused by it. I'm just kind of like letting it play out. like Juice, I know you kind of like broke it down for us. I think it was either the last pod or the NBA preview pod. But are you like kind of caught up and do you know like kind of what where we're at and whatnot? Or
well, tonight's game is really important because they need. To not only win, but it's the point differential too. So they need to win big.
Big, yeah. Okay.
I think if Miami beats Milwaukee tonight, that would help us.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, that is kind of like how the soccer leagues do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because I was watching. What's the soccer show with what's his face?
ESPN?
No, with the coach. Why is it? I'm like having a brain fart right now.
Which coach?
The show, the popular comedy show, soccer.
With
Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. Oh my god!
Ted Lasso. Okay.
Complete brain fart. But I remember I watched like the first season and they needed like a certain amount of points or whatever to like stay. I don't know. I know they do that in like soccer, like with the point stuff. I kind of like that. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm not a fan of the courts, Juice. I know you like them. I'm not really crazy about them, but I don't know. I like. You know, we'll see where it goes. Obviously,
I'm enjoying it. I think it's given some of these games a little bit of juice that maybe they didn't have.
Yeah,
like Nets Raptors tonight. Like whatever, you know. But now it's like, oh, Nets Raptors tonight. Okay.
Yeah. There's implications. Yeah, I mean, the Knicks Heat game this past Friday was amazing. I mean. They came back and it had like a playoff atmosphere to it. So
the 500K is enough to get these guys moving.
Yeah. Breen was just saying in the Knicks Hornets game that, you know, like some of these, you know, I think Brunson was saying like, yeah, I want some of these guys who just, you know, kind of don't play often, you know, get some money, right? Assistant coaches get some money. So these guys are motivated by the half mil. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and I think once it goes to Vegas, like the final, they're doing the semis, right? The semis and the finals in Vegas. Is that what it is?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be really cool. That'd be fun. That will have like, you know, you'll really.
Even if you're making like $12 million a year, right?
Yeah.
Like that's $1 million a month. Like you win a half a month's salary.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine right now, like, whatever you guys are making. Like, you went to Atlantic City and you won a half a month's salary.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good incentive. So, like Dinwiddie said, hey, man, that's a Rolls Royce for me.
That
sounds pretty good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I think Josh Hart said something about a watch.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny. Speaking of Josh Hart, what's going on with... the comment, I guess that was not a big deal about the, what do you say about the offense or whatever?
I don't know if it got taken out of context, but he said he feels like left out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Tibbs came back and said like, nah, we're not doing anything differently with him. He just needs
to. He's just not shooting well.
Yeah. He's not shooting well. which he's not like a great shooter. It's not really his game.
No.
To be honest.
Exactly.
Grimes, who was shooting horribly. I saw he hit 2 threes. Earlier in the game, which is good to see that he's hitting shots, but it's
he's got to be aggressive.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable though that inevitable that Dante eventually is a starter, right? I mean, doesn't that make more sense? I don't know, Juice. What do you think of
in the playoffs? So he'll definitely get more minutes as the guard.
Okay, like Juice, are you for that too? The Ragu starting over Grimes.
The thing is, I mean, Grimes hasn't been good, but I do like having a little bit of offensive punch, like coming off the bench.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I hate it when, you know, if your starting five is struggling to score, which we saw definitely last year in the playoffs, you need somebody off the bench to give you a little bit of a lift or a juice, you know?
Yeah,
boost of energy. So I know a lot of people are calling for him to start just because Grimes is playing so bad, but I don't know. What I would ideally like is to get another wing, a really good wing, so we can move RJ to the two spot, but that's probably in the bigger.
Yeah, I mean, that, in a perfect world, yeah, Mikal Bridges, sorry, Adam, would be our three. And my God, that would be Brunson, RJ, Mikal. Well, Randall, you know, remains to be seen, and Mitch.
I think you got to start thinking about OG Anunoby.
Well, yeah,
I don't think the Nets are going to trade Bridges.
No, zero chance Mikal goes anywhere. Yeah, OG's my second choice.
Well, I think zero.
Toronto's also, never going to. Toronto's yeah. never trading with the Knicks ever again.
Yeah, now they're not.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, it's over.
Really?
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah.
There's a huge lawsuit going around.
Oh, and, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that's
over. the Knicks want $10 million from Toronto for damages.
Dolan.
Was that the Bargnani trade?
I think so.
That's probably worth about $10 million in damage, I think.
Oh, man.
My God, the gift that keeps on giving. That whole debacle. My God. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the Knicks are going to do. There's still, I mean, it's constantly talked about, like on Twitter and the media, you know, trading Randall or, you know, Knicks are ready for a big move, like big splash. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sick of
it. They'll make a move. It'll be like a Josh Hart type move like they did last year.
Yeah, it'll be like Fournier and a pick for someone.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Fournier and a pick for Bogdanovich.
Yeah, I saw that.
Josh, I was about to say that.
I saw that. Yeah.
I love Bogdanovich.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging 21 a game. You're talking about points off the bench.
Bogey.
Yeah, I mean, you have him, Quickly, and Ragu scoring off the bench with Hart and Hartenstein doing their thing. You know, that's a strong bench right there.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, they need more shooting. One more shooter.
Yeah, that's the guy. So. Yeah, it's funny though because Fournier could shoot.
Is he a horrible defender? Is he a terrible defender though?
As a net, he was pretty bad, but he's got some size. Like he's sneaky big. He's like 6'8", and he's like thick. So, you know, he could hold his own in the post, but like you know, you put him in pick and roll, and a lot of these little guards are going to roast him. But on the other side, he's not bad in the post. He shoots over guys. He's a good shooter. So.
Yeah, I think Fournier, the issue with him is, what is he, 6'4", 6'5"? How tall is Fournier?
Yeah, he's little.
So,
yeah.
But Bogdanovich, you get a little bit more length and height, I guess. And I don't think Fournier ever averaged 21 a game. So maybe one year he got close to that.
He scored like 45 a couple times as a net, Bogdanovich.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he could really score.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And he's, you know... being on the Pistons, you know, God, they're like historically bad. I saw something crazy. They're like 4-40 something in their last like 50 games.
Oof.
That was like as of like a week or so ago. Yeah, they're really bad. Like really bad. And they had some nice players on that team too. But my God.
Who's their coach?
Is it still what's his face? Who used to coach the Raptors?
Mitchell. Sam Mitchell?
Sam Mitchell, yeah. No.
Or is it Monty Williams?
No.
Yeah,
not
it's Monty.
Oh, Monty Williams is coaching there now?
Yeah, they gave him a truckload of money.
A lot of money.
Oh, yeah. God. I didn't even know that. I had no idea. The guy was coaching the finals a few years ago. I had no idea. Wow.
The Knicks are never going to get that first round pick ever from them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
or Washington.
Nope.
Two teams that are just like going to be terrible for the next decade.
And what's the other team? Did they have a pick through? Wasn't there another
Dallas? One? They'll get the Dallas pick this year.
Yeah. All right. Oh,
he's looking pretty good, Dallas. I don't think it's going to last, but for now they can enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Giddey, we got to talk about it. Devastating, man.
Sorry, Tom.
It's my guy. What the fuck?
Kitty gang. So did the girl lie to? Did the girl lie to him about that? Do we know anything?
Yeah. What's the details? Is it even true?
So
she looked young.
So it just came out. I guess Andrew Bogut, is he involved with the Thunder at all?
No, but he's Australian.
Okay, so they're just going to the Australians for a comment.
Yeah.
So Bogut, like he like knew about it. Like I don't know, it was weird. He's like, yeah, supposedly the Thunder have known about this for a year. So this is like old news. And
what did Crocodile Dundee say?
Yeah. So I guess I don't know if Giddey is 21 now or was 21 when it happened. The rumor is that she was a junior in high school, but again, there's no details have come out. Supposedly, the Thunder have been aware of it and don't think it's an issue at all. That's all I've heard. So,
well, I did see. I think they said like the Oklahoma, like age of consent is like 17.
No, it's 15.
No, it's 16. I thought
it's 16.
Is it 16 or did you say 15, Adam?
I think it's 16.
Okay.
Wow.
So.
I mean, maybe it's like, yeah, a little like, creepy for sure, but if he didn't break a law, then what can you really do? You can't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, so, right, right.
He can be the butt of jokes for the rest of his career.
I mean, that's probably what it's going to be. I think it's, yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. I mean, we'll probably get the details. I mean, if she was 17 or 18, he was 20 or 21. Yeah, it's not like the end of the world, but like, yeah, he'll be the butt of jokes. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're in the NBA, man. Like, I mean,
I know. Well, there might not be a ton of great, you know, it's Oklahoma. I mean, no offense. Yeah, but, no offense, I mean, Oklahoma.
Josh Giddey's probably, he's probably got enough money to fly some girls out.
Yeah, and you're in all these other cities and stuff. Yeah, that's true.
I think you got to figure something out if you're in the NBA, man. Like, that can't happen. That's like, the one thing that really can't happen is that.
Well, it's funny because a lot of the rumors, people were like saying crazy shit like, oh, she was in junior high school and like, what? Yeah. Yeah. Like it got crazy like that. But then I'm seeing that like, oh, she was a junior in high school. So I don't know. I don't know, man.
If I was the NBA, I wouldn't even approach a girl. I would have somebody on staff do that for me. I'm gonna find out about this girl.
Yeah, what does Harden do? Harden, like, I mean, you know, this guy. I was talking to someone recently who knew a guy who knew Harden and what he kind of does. So I guess when he was in Brooklyn specifically, he had like a driver. And this driver would just like constantly like take him to like strip clubs, and he just loves the strip clubs. And he would have like each city, he would have like three different girls, like strippers that he would just like, you know, bang or whatever.
I think that's the way to go.
So I think that's the way to go. Yeah. That's the point of my spiel here.
I like
that. Yeah. Oy, yay. What else?
Should we mention Mark Cuban?
Yeah, I just saw that. So what's the deal with that?
He sold it. He gets all the money, but then he still keeps everything and operations. Like, so what did he get rid of? He just got money.
Just a stake, I guess, right?
So just reading the tea leaves, right? He sells the team and he's leaving Shark Tank. And I had just watched Billions, right? So my question is, is Mark Cuban prepping for an independent presidential run?
I saw that too.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people were saying that.
You buying that?
I
can see it.
So what? He's gonna run on the independent ticket against RFK Jr.? Is that that would be the plan?
I guess.
I don't know how that would work, because I don't think we've ever had like two independents. Like when Ross Perot ran as an independent. Did he have like another independent that he like debated and like had to go through?
Well,
like,
he was
caucus through?
He was the last independent that actually made it to the debate stage. That right?
Correct.
He actually had enough juice. So
yeah.
I don't think Robert Kennedy is going to have enough juice for that. But I think Mark Cuban would. So
well, I don't know. Robert Kennedy in the latest Quinnipiac poll. I mean, it was amongst 18 to 34 year olds who were like the people who vote the least, but he was leading. Trump and Biden, so
no shit.
Yeah, okay. So he's got. I mean, that's an important poll too. But I mean, 18 to 34, not many of those people are voting, so it's kind of moot. But he's got some momentum to him. It's just at the end of the day, it's probably going to be Trump and Biden again. Let's be honest.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Oh, yippee! Let's do this again. Cuban, though, I did see that, Adam, what you're talking about. And he's hinted at it before, so
I think he'd have a lot of juice if he actually did. I think a lot of people.
I don't even know what his. I mean, obviously he's a capitalist. You know, he's probably
all big, I know is he's famous, and if you're famous, that's kind of the first.
And he's got money, so he wouldn't take corporate money. He wouldn't need to. He could fund his own campaign.
Pro tanking.
Pro tank, yeah. He's pro tanking. He'll tank the country. Don't worry. Don't worry. There's a reward at the end. Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. That would be funny. That would be funny. So,
we'll see.
We'll see.
He did pretty well. We'll see. He bought it for $285 million, I saw.
Wow.
Sold it for $3.5 million.
Wow.
Insane.
Man, what did, how did he get his start again? Like, how did he get it, make his money? He was like a .com guy?
Broadcast.com. He sold it to Yahoo.
Yeah, he was like right in the like right video. In the beginning of that. Yeah. Jeez.
I don't know. Why didn't we think of that?
Fuck. Oh, well. What are you going to do? All right, guys. So... I guess we'll be back in a couple of weeks. We'll have some updates in, you know, everything. NFL, college, NBA, the whole shebang. And
who do you guys have as the leader in the NFL right now? Best team? San Fran still?
I'm going to go, if healthy, San Fran. But Eagles, man, they find ways. I mean, they were one bad Hurts throw from being undefeated, right? It gets the Jets. So
I picked the Chiefs before the year. It has been pretty, but I'm still gonna stick with the Chiefs.
Yeah, they find ways as well. Like them and Eagles, they win ugly, you know.
Yeah. I'm not like, I think Baltimore is the number one seed in the AFC, and I wouldn't be afraid, like, if I was the Chiefs I had to go to play Baltimore.
Definitely not.
Without Andrews, it's a different team. Their defense is freaking loaded, but I can't picture them scoring too much in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Who are you throwing to? Who's your one receiver? Zay Flowers, a 5'10" like slot guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a rookie.
You know?
Not good. Yeah, I think right at this present moment, if the Niners are healthy, they're dominant when they're healthy, right? Those three losses, you know, they were banged up. So
Yeah. No Debo, no Williams. No McCaffrey for a one or two.
Yeah, Kittle miss a game too?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they play, it's at Philly, and I think they're gonna come in last year. They're gonna really put it to Philly.
That's this Sunday, week. 4:25. That's gonna be a great one. That's a real good one.
It's a pick 'em game.
Oh, it's a pick 'em. Holy shit. Wow.
Fun.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Why did Tepper say that he had a trade in place to move out of 1 to 2?
Dude, that guy got to stop talking.
Yeah, what was that about?
It's so strange. This guy,
it sounded like he was trying to double down on Bryce Young. Like, we liked him so much, we were going to trade down and pick him anyway.
Yeah, it's...
But I don't know. It's not looking great.
Yeah. Wall Street and NFL owners, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Different game.
The point of the owner's role in owning an NFL team or any team, NBA team, like, you have to provide the resources that allow the experts to best do their job. Like, it's not the owner's job to run the team like his fantasy football team. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the owner's got to hire the coach to be the CEO of the whole organization, and the general manager to provide that CEO with the talent.
That's it.
And work the salary cap. The owner is like, I don't know what the hell they're thinking. Like, he signs Frank Reich for 4 years and then fires him after 11 games and then makes a comment that, the next coach should be there giving the eulogy at my funeral because he's there for 30 years. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they make these coaches sign NDAs like after they get bought out of a contract like that? Because I'm sure Reich could say a lot of stuff. Or no. That doesn't go for sports, right?
No, I think that they probably, it's in their contract that if they are to separate, like, part of the, like, you can collect your severance or you can collect the rest of your contract, but yeah, you cannot talk.
Yeah. Like, he won't go on, like, you know, if he wanted to, like, could he go on, like, NFL Today and, like, just start, like, you know, ripping Tepper? Like,
maybe he could, but then he might not be getting paid that contract. Because right now, like, he's gonna get paid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always wondered how that works.
Well, you never see – have you ever seen a situation where the coach got fired in any sport and immediately, like, was like
– No.
Yeah.
Thank you for the, you know, whatever opportunity and
– Yeah.
So, like, Jeff Saturday was on this morning on the radio, and what he was saying is,
Like, he's friends with Frank Wright. He's known Frank Wright for a long time. He's like, he is a very high character guy, and he's like, he's obviously a friend, so I'm going to take his side no matter what. But he's like, obviously there was something going on in the organization where they were not aligned. So something was going on where, I mean, 11 games, I think that's the fastest since like 1979 or something that you fire a coach, that the NFL saw that. I think it was the Niners coach before.
Crazy.
For who was their big time coach?
Oh,
in
the
80s.
Oh, Jesus.
Levy? No. What's his name? Mark? No. Not Mark.
If someone says it, I'll know.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. Carl, what team?
The Niners in the 80s.
The Niners. Who's the big time Niners coach in the 80s?
Oh, my God. I see what
yeah, it's a Walsh. Yes.
Bill Walsh, yes.
I saw the glasses and the gray hair, right? Is that, or no? Am I thinking of George Seifert?
George Seifert. Somebody a four-year contract, like, you know, and then you fire him after 11 games. It's like, what changed so much that now the guy's horrible?
Right.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know this guy.
But then the other side of it is, too, like I listened to a lot of Mike Lombardi, and he was saying that Frank Reich only went there just to collect a check. Like, he didn't have that team prepared to play at all. So, I don't know.
I think something bad happened behind the scenes. I think it had to do with the pick. You know, I could see, like, maybe after, like, Bryce had a bad game. Because didn't he have he had a pick to, like, lose that game the other day? Because they had a chance to win it against the Titans, right? And then maybe, like, in the locker room, Reich maybe went off, like, I wanted Stroud, and Temper was like, oh, you're fired. Like, fuck you. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Could be an ego thing.
Yeah.
But, like, even the Giants have Daboll. I actually love Brian Daboll. But I would also say at the same point, I don't think he had the Giants ready to go right away this season. And that's a learning point, right? But you can't just fire him. I think he needs to coach next year, and he needs time to develop with the guys that Joe Shane has. And same thing with Joe Shane. He needs a couple of years. After it's like year four, then you can make a decision, but it takes a couple of years. Like, even now, I think the Jets are with that point with Joe Douglas and Saleh. Everyone's looking at him because now it's what, year three?
Yeah.
So next year, the seat's hot because, I mean, you're expected to win with Aaron Rodgers. So yep. It'll be next year.
That's it. So, we'll see. Tough job. It's a tough job, man. NFL coach, probably the toughest, you know?
And you're going to make mistakes, too. Like, there are draft picks that Joe Shane made that I don't really like or agree with, but there's some that he hits on. I don't know.
Yeah.
Evan Neal, I mean, this guy's going to be working at Whole Foods, like, really soon.
Flipping burgers. Next year, he's playing guard, probably. I don't see him. I don't know.
He might be playing guard in the CFL.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. But
he looks so unathletic. Like, remember the in Alabama, there was like that clip of him, like, the jumping and like landing on those mats.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. And then he just looks so unathletic now.
Yeah, he looks like he has cement feet.
Yeah. He's slow and I don't know.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. You don't have your pick, Stroud. Like, that's good. I feel that's worse than being a Jet fan by far.
You know what's also interesting? I heard on the radio this morning, Mac Jones for New England had a better year under what the fuck is that guy's name? Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator than Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator.
Wow.
Matt Patricia doesn't know any offense. He's the defensive coordinator that they made him the offensive.
That was the weirdest thing ever. Yeah.
But you know what I don't get about Mac Jones is they just keep bringing him back and then benching him.
Yeah.
like why do you keep bringing him back into the line? You're going to bench him anyway. Like, I don't know.
It seems like there's this debate over who's better, Mac Jones or Zappy.
Zappy. Right.
But they're both bad, and then Belichick doesn't do anything to mitigate that. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to split the reps. I'm going to split the reps in practice, and then in the game, I'm going to go back and forth. So I don't know what Belichick's going to do.
He's trying to reinvent the game. So
I don't know. You know, he's going for his record. He's like a couple away, a few away from all-time coaching wins. And it sounds more and more that he's not going to get it with New England. Like, he'll be coaching somewhere else.
Kind of crazy.
Washington. That's the rumor.
Washington?
Yeah. New
Rivera's going to get the boot.
Riverboat Ron's gone. The new owner. You know, he wants something to juice up the franchise, right? And, Belichick's a Maryland guy. You know?
Is he?
Yeah, he's from he grew up in Annapolis. I think his dad was like a Navy guy.
Nets got the W, by the way.
Oh, congrats.
9-8.
Nice.
See you in the championship.
We move.
We move.
We move.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, guys. I think we said it all. Anything?
I think we're good.
Oh, you know, there's a big lull in TV.
Oh, yes.
I know I've been watching like older shows and things like that, but I think next month we get True Detective.
Yes, I was gonna wait until a week or so before to bring it up. Yeah, it's actually on my birthday is the premiere.
Wait, like a new season?
Yeah, January. Who's in it? January 14th is the premiere, which is my birthday.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, yeah.
Whatever.
she's the only big name. I don't recognize anyone else in it. But
there's nothing on TV. We need something.
Where's it take place?
Alaska.
Oh, come on.
So
it's gonna be like dark and mooses hanging around.
It's going to be the darkest because
there was a guy at our tailgate from Alaska. He said it's awesome.
I hear Alaska is awesome, but it's
five months a year. It's not a drop of darkness. It's 24 hours of daylight.
That's pretty I'd be in heaven, man.
I don't know. That's kind of nuts. I need to sleep, you know. Like
my family went to Alaska over the summer. They hated it. They said it's the worst place they'll ever go.
I've heard mixed reviews about Alaska. Obviously, it's very picturesque, but I don't know. It seems kind of depressing.
Whoever started like the first like blackout, super blacked out shades out there is killing it. Like,
oh yeah, millions. Oh yeah, big time. But yeah, no, it's so supposedly, because I read up on it a little bit, it supposedly it takes place during the time in Alaska where it's dark for a whole month. I think the month of December. So like right now, like Alaska, it's just dark like the entire month, which is terrifying.
I mean, how do you people like not just literally go insane?
No, I know. It's a wild place. But yeah, so supposedly it takes place then. I guess like five guys who work at this like research center just like disappear, like out of nowhere, and that's kind of like the basis of the mystery. But if you watch the trailer, you could see the same symbol from season one.
Okay.
The Carcosa.
Carcosa.
So I think there's Carcosa. So I think there's somewhat of a link. And then if you look in the comments, someone mentions like, oh, Russ Cole mentioned his time in Alaska, blah blah blah. So, I don't know.
They bring it connected a little.
Yeah,
bit?
I think there's some linkage to season one a little bit. We'll see. Can you imagine a McConaughey?
That'd be cool.
All right.
If we get a little McConaughey Russ Cole action, that'd be something.
And then what's the other guy? Vince Vaughn. Hopefully they don't bring him back.
No, he died. Spoiler alert.
In the
desert.
He was the worst villain ever.
I don't even. Was he supposed to be a villain? I don't know.
I don't know what he was. I think he was like a gangster. Like,
yeah.
All the True Detectives were bad except for season one. I mean, the last one was
with Mahershala Ali. It was decent, but the ending.
It like had promise, and then it was like, oh, that's it. Like, okay.
Yeah. Nothing memorable.
Yeah, that was weird. Season two, you know, you have some season two truthers who are like, no, it's the best season, man. You got to give it another shot. Like, eh, I don't know. Season one's just so incredible. Like, it's such a standalone season. You know what I mean? It's like a masterpiece. So it's going to be tough to beat that in anything, really. So, but yeah, that's Juice. That's the only thing to look forward to. Seems like in TV, fictional TV, at least.
I don't know. I might go back and watch like Homeland or something. I need something. I've been watching Sopranos though. That's always good. But
yeah, I haven't been watching. I mean, I literally watch YouTube. That's it. It's like podcasts and barstool shit, and yeah, it's like nothing. I don't know, sports. Like I just there's like no shows. Like I've like nothing. It's usually HBO. I like, you know, is the only thing I really watch. So
yeah,
guess gotta wait for that True Detective. But it's only 6 episodes, so it's going to go quick.
That's so. It? That's super fast.
Yeah, usually it's like 8, I think. Yeah, it's only supposed to be 6.
Hard Knocks was good. Miami.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Check it out. McDaniel, Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, not bad. I don't know what else is on TV. I have no idea.
Yeah, nothing.
Sports.
Nothing. Yeah, that's it. Ton of sports. So, all right, guys, we got to go.
Put you on the flip side, Joe's.
All right, take care. Comb your hair.